Tonight, we take on a political and economic firestorm that could cost American taxpayers billions. Now, a Supreme Court ruling has struck down President Trump's reciprocal tariffs as unlawful, forcing the federal government to refund billions of dollars in collective tariff payments to U.S. corporations. But here is the question many Americans are now asking. If corporations already passed those tariff costs onto consumers through higher prices, why should they now receive a massive refund from taxpayers? Did companies collect from the customer on the front end and cash in again on the back end? Is this double dipping on the backs of the American people? And then there's this explosive question. Did Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick help design and push a tariff structure so legally vulnerable that it was destined to be struck down while his own family stood positioned to profit through tariff refund claims and related financial activity tied to Cantor Fitzgerald? Was this incompetence, coincidence, or corruption? Tonight, we ask whether this is economic justice, political malpractice, or insider dealings at the highest level. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and this is America First. Tariffs are supposed to be about leverage. They are meant to protect American workers, punish unfair trade practices, and strengthen domestic production. But what happens when tariffs become a shell game? You see, the government collects billions. Corporations, they raise prices. Consumers pay more. Then courts strike the policy down. And suddenly, those same corporations line up for refunds from the Treasury. If the cost was already passed to families buying groceries, appliances, cars, and everyday goods, then who actually paid the tariff? The answer is often the consumer. So why would the refund go to multinational corporations instead of the people who absorb the higher prices? And if politically connected insiders anticipated this outcome, structured around it, or even profited from it, that raises even deeper concerns. See, Americans can tolerate tough policy fights. They cannot tolerate a rigged game. Joining me now are Scott Stantis, cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, and Todd Bubba Horwitz, chief marketing strategist at BubbaTrading.com. Thank you both for joining me on America First. Todd, I want to start with you on this question. If a corporation passed tariff costs directly to consumers, all through higher prices, should that corporation be entitled to a taxpayer-funded refund now?
Good morning, Scotty. The answer is absolutely not. But the corporations will, of course, benefit because that's, unfortunately, how our government works, is they let the corporations continue to grow and destroy the small guy. You know, government doesn't make money, they make debt. And, of course, we, the consumer, suffered the payment, had to pay for those tariffs. So we, in effect, ended up paying the tariffs that got struck down by the Supreme Court.
Well, that's the thing, Scott. I mean, obviously, we know that this was President Trump was hopefully not expecting this to happen. But there is a legal aspect to this. So legally speaking, when a tax or tariff is ruled invalid, should refunds automatically go to the entity that paid on paper, or should consumer harm actually be considered?
Oh, absolutely be considered. Are you kidding? I mean, 100%. But let's dig a little deeper. This was Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, who, as you mentioned, was head of Cantor Fitzgerald. He steps aside to join the cabinet of President Trump, and his son, Brandon, takes over. Now, all of this happens. Howard Lutnick is a big, big, big proponent of tariffs. And if I could, as a conservative, just say tariffs are stupid. But let's leapfrog over that notion for a moment and just continue with the story. Now that they're having these rebates back to the companies that, again, you and I and the rest of Americans will never see because it's going to go directly to these companies. By the way, another side note, you'll notice that the prices haven't come back down since they've struck down these tariffs. So, no, we don't get anything. We don't get anything. I mean, so now Brandon Lutnick, stay with me, Cantor Fitzgerald is buying back rights to tariff rebates.
Right.
At a fraction of the penny. So they've created a $100 billion market on these rebates because companies, and it makes sense for some companies because they want the money now because they had some financial shortfalls, they have some supply chain problems. So is this a huge, ginormous, horrible scam? Oh, you betcha. This is going to make, the Harding administration and Teapot Dome look quaint by comparison.
Well, but it all is about keeping it in the headlines. Obviously, those that have been a part of it in the bad way want this to go away because they're still going to get their paychecks. It's keeping in the headlines, hence why we're doing this show today. Because the reality of it is, Scott, many working families never got relief when prices went up, as you pointed out. Is this another example of privatized profit and socialized loss?
Of course. I mean, look at, and this isn't anything, this has become the trend across America. I'm sorry, I'm stuttering here because I'm so angry about this. You have Marjorie, it's not Democratic or Republican. You have Marjorie Taylor Greene coming into the Congress two and a half terms or one and a half terms ago with a net value of $700,000. She leaves with a net value of 40 plus million dollars. And then, of course, you have the queen of all scammers. You have former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who is unbelievably still in Congress and has made hundreds of millions of dollars. What does her husband do? Say it with me, kids. He's a venture capitalist. He's also a market fund guy. So, gee, would insider trading help in that capacity? I just need someone to help me think this. Yes. Absolutely true. That's what we're dealing with now. The level of corruption now in the United States has reached a proportion that is, it has never reached it at this level before. And hey, this is coming from a guy from Chicago.
If there's anybody that knows corruption politics, it's definitely your hometown. But I got to ask you this, because Howard Lutnick's ties to Cantor Fitzgerald, undeniable. His family's financial interests invite scrutiny, as it should. But at minimum, should there be recusals and full disclosures from his own company, who went in and bought the insurance claims that if this got repealed, that they would profit off of it?
Of course, this should have
Absolutely,
been
if you're
put
asking
out
me.
in front. This is one of the problems that we feel we face with our government. I mean, Scott just named the people that made all this money throughout the terms. Now, this has been going on for a long time, the graft and corruption that goes on in government and the things that they do that end up benefiting them one way or the other, because, of course, they always have us, the taxpayer, to fall back on, because we have to continue to pay our taxes. We don't get the benefit. We haven't seen the prices come down. So, of course, they manipulated this. Now, if the Supreme Court didn't strike it down, then they would not have had the benefit. Was the law put in place? Was it changed to benefit? Did they purposely make this thing happen? Did Lutnick purposely put this law in order? Maybe, again. But at the end of the day, these guys are politicians. And I think, other than President Trump, because I don't really think that he's part of this part of it, I think the Congress and the Senate are all about taking the money and grabbing it wherever they are. That's why their values continue to grow. That's why you pay $40 million of your own money to get elected to a $200,000-a-year job, because you do a lot of things that affect Americans, because you get the ability to pay them and take their money. And this is where it comes down to. So sure, there's corruption. There's corruption everywhere when we look at this. I mean, in every walk of life of the government, they are somewhere taking money out of our pockets. Our prices haven't come down. And even when they start to come down a little bit, they will never come down as far as they went up. And I assure you, these companies that have now benefited from this, when their earnings come out next quarter, they will have record earnings, but they'll be crying all the way to the bank with the taxpayer dollar.
And I'm going to laugh because they're going to be touting about how great company is, how great the economies are. I mean, look at these earnings report. Obviously, the economy is doing great. And people fall for it, though. Bob, I'm going to go back to you on this. People fall for it. It's not like this is anything new. It's not like this is just started this administration, Republicans and Democrats alike. Why do we keep reelecting people that we know came into this with $150,000 in their bank account and now have $10 million?
I cannot
Look at
answer that for
AOC
the life of
now.
me.
I mean, again, you want to talk about a perfect example? She was a bartender, now worth millions of dollars. The real problem is that voters are too lazy to get off their dead ass, excuse me, and go out and vote and do something. And of course, unfortunately, in this country, we only have a choice of Coke or Pepsi. We don't have a third choice. And for a third choice to get on a ballot, it's impossible. The current setup that we are under right now is basically they're pounding each other to keep all of them in office. And this used to happen when they'd go through the debt ceiling debate and they'd go back in the back room and sit down and have a scotch and a cigar and say, how are we going to screw the American people again today? and raise their taxes so we can continue to grow and make more money for ourselves. This is the real problem that we deal with. We do not have people that actually follow the laws. The people that make the laws are making new laws that will benefit them, but not benefit the consumer, not benefit the American. The economy is in horrific shape. We are in a K-shaped economy, which means only the upper 10% are doing anything good in this country right now. The rest of the world is struggling, and struggling mightily.
You and I know this, but if you look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., steak prices are still just as high, concert tickets are just high, and they're getting paid for it. That's the best part in it. They can actually afford to live life. It's everybody outside the Beltway that cannot. Scott, one last question before we go for a quick break. If insiders knew the tariff structure was vulnerable in court and positioned financially for refunds or market movement, how serious would that be, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, legally, it's questionable if it's illegal. I mean, that's what's astounding about this whole story. But politically, it's devastating. If you could say that, you know, this was clearly a policy that hurt deeply the American people and the American consumer, and it was used to benefit other folks and really, really screw over the American consumer, that they understand, that not a lot of math involved there when you're paying $20 for something you used to pay $9 for.
Well, at least we're all in agreement on this, and we'll see if we stay in agreement in this next segment. Stay right there with us, Scott and Bubba, because when we come back, we're going to discuss accountability. Should Congress investigate these refund claims like they should their COVID refund? Should executives have to prove they absorbed tariff costs themselves? And did Washington just create the biggest corporate rebate scheme in modern history? More when America First returns. Welcome back to America First. I'm Scottie Nell Hughes. Tonight, we are discussing the Supreme Court tariff ruling, corporate refunds, and whether taxpayers are once again left holding the bag. Joining me back again now are Scott Stantis, cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, and Todd Bubba Horwitz, chief marketing strategist at BubbaTrading.com. Now, before the break, we were getting along real well, mainly because we were discussing whether refunding corporations after consumer price hikes amounts to double dipping. We agreed. I want to talk about consequences, though, and if we will ever see any. So let's start with you, because I want to start with you on this one, Scott. Should companies seeking tariff refunds be required to prove that they did not pass these costs on to consumers?
Of course they should. Transparency, I am 100%. 1,000%, 1,000,000% for transparency, because the American government works for you and me and the rest of the American people. The fact of the matter is nothing, I can't imagine a heck of a lot being kept secret, which is being kept secret. Yes, they need to be made accountable. There needs to be transparency. You, me, and the rest of the American people need to know what damages they're trying to recover, if any. And going forward, I mean, I can't imagine any other way they could go, but I'm reminded of the housing collapse of 2008, the bailout, no accountability there. We gave them a big, I don't even know why they didn't just give them a big check on a foam core background, you know, like a lottery winning. And they didn't have any accountability for where that money went. That's the second part of that equation, is where is this money going to go? If it's going to go towards, you know, more corporate bonuses, more bonuses for executives, then, you know, and no relief for the consumers, well, then, you know, I have a problem with that, and I think most Americans will.
Well, I'm going to bring it even more recent, the COVID PPL funding that we continue to see people took advantage of the fraud of the government, and there's been very little prosecution of people that took advantage of the money, of the kindness that I think the American people were giving during that time. You know, Bubba, if conflicts of interest involving administration officials or their families, what investigations should happen immediately, and are you realistic to think that they will happen? I mean, like someone said, you're asking the wolf to police the hen house on this. Do we really think they're going to be honest?
They're not going to do anything about this, Scotty. This is the real problem here, is it goes to Scott's point. And again, they don't give us full disclosure. Right. We don't know. They just continue to add their balance sheet. We hear how wonderful the economy is and what's going on. But at the end of the day, we're never going to hear about this money. They're going to keep the money. And if they were going to do anything, they should have kept the money in the Treasury. And if we go back to 2008, where else could you be in a business that you get bailed out by the taxpayer because you overlent and overexposed yourself? This is the problem, that we're dealing with a government and a Federal Reserve that have no interest in the common person or the middle class. They're only about the top end, and of course, making Congress wealthier, making the Senate wealthier. They do not care about the American average taxpayer who's actually footing the bill for all these things. They should be required to report whether they received or what they didn't receive. They should not be able to get the money back. The bottom line is, if they passed on the savings, fine. Okay, they did that. That's fine. That was a good break for the taxpayer. If they didn't, if they kept the money and ate the taxes, that's fine too. The money should stay in the Treasury to go to reduce the massive amount of debt that they continue to create. Regardless, it shouldn't have been done. The Supreme Court shouldn't have struck it down to make the refunds. They should have said, hey, the money goes into the Treasury and goes towards paying our debt, because the American taxpayer has been tortured over and over again, whether it be the bailouts of 08, whether it be continuation, whether it be the interest rate market that continues to raise inflation to unbelievable levels that cannot be sustained. It's a very big problem. And unfortunately, the swamp in Washington, we will never get the full truth out of it all.
Well, and then you have to look at this from the larger scheme. And Scott, I'm gonna throw this to you, because how damaging is this? Because you have candidates, these people that are elected to office run on this all the time. Oh, I'm against this. Look at what he did. Look at what she did. Never look at myself. How damaging it, though, when you're talking about a party that ran on this being something they were going to get rid of, the corruption, the drain, the swamp. The American First trade policy was to end Wall Street getting richer and taxpayers actually paying the bill. Yeah. It was all about getting the American people feeling better and more confident in the economy. How damaging is this to the movement going forward? Can the regular everyday people believe them when they say that this is what they want to do?
Well, let me throw, again, being from Chicago, a quick story, if I may. Alderman Sandy Jackson, Jesse Jackson Jr.'s wife, was an alderman for the city of Chicago. She actually lived in Washington, D.C. Her children went to Washington schools. They were caught the fact of the matter is, she came into an editorial board meeting once, could not name more than two streets in her district. That's how bad this was. This is not representation. She was reelected overwhelmingly shortly before she went to jail. That's how corruption works. And American people have to wake up. They have to pay attention. You're talking about having this, having the tariff rebate story in the news, and you're doing yeoman's work right now by mentioning it. Did you ever see it in any other American paper? I mean, in the front pages, you don't see it. Well, with a few papers that are left. Mm-hmm. Do you see it being talked about anywhere? It's not. And this is one of those issues that is very important, because it cuts to the very core of American life. You and I buy our stuff every day. I went to Walmart to buy a $2 bucket, paid $14 for it. That's real life. And we're not addressing that in a real serious way, and Americans need to get serious.
Well, let me point out why you're not going to see it, because it's called advertising dollars. Obviously, an advertiser doesn't want a story run in their publication that they're sponsoring that's going to say, no, we don't think you deserve to get the refund, or you need to lower your prices back. It's like this hamster wheel that unfortunately continues to spew and continue to run. But, I have to look at Bubba on this one. I put this all on Congress's back. I really do, because it's not like they're supposed to disclose who their sponsors are, but you never see, Bubba, exactly who. You see these shell of corporations that say, well, they might have given their PAC money, they might have given this, but you don't know specifically what companies fall underneath that shell. Should we have Congress rewrite tariff authority to prevent future administrations, Republican or Democrat, from creating legally shaky policies with massive refund exposure? Have we just opened up Pandora's box?
Well, we really should redo all of Congress and all of the laws. I mean, from their inside trading to their setting up of these deals that they set up. This is the problem. There are so many deepened problems in here. I mean, this is just scratching the surface, this latest debacle of the tariffs and whatever. We have so many things that go on underneath the table in the swamp. And of course, I think that you mentioned the swamp. The swamp, it's hard for one man to drain the swamp and get rid of everybody. And of course, these politicians are making so much money, they don't want to disclose. And the donors don't necessarily want to disclose either, that they're buying the votes, they're buying and giving the money so that our politicians can continue to get wealthy on the backs of working Americans. This is the whole problem. That was what the tariffs were supposed to have done, is to bring back jobs to this country. Well, you can see that we're not bringing jobs back. And of course, with what's going on with AI, we're losing more jobs than we're gaining as well. So we need to have full disclosure from our government. We don't get it. We get BS. We get nonsense. We get reports that get revised constantly, always to the negative. They show you some positive report, and then it'll come out with a negative revision, which nobody pays attention to. So yes, they need to be able to disclose. We need to have the information. I think it makes it better. It makes the American more informed, gives us a better chance at the voting booth. And I'm also from Chicago, Scott.
Secretary Howard Lutnick, this should be an easy case to prosecute if someone actually takes up the nerve and says, here's what happened. You wrote this, your son provided. It's black and white. The numbers don't lie. Do you think we will see a congressional investigation, whether it be this administration or the next one, into Howard Lutnick? And is this one of the reasons why President Trump might have offered the presidential pardon for all of his administration and already said, tease, that's what he's going to do when his term is over? I'm going to start with you, Bubba.
I don't think there'll ever be a full investigation. There might be a tertiary investigation, but there are so many of our past politicians that should be in jail or should have gone to jail. So I don't think there'll ever be a real down and dirty, this is what happened, this is what they did, and they're going to go to jail for it. I think there's only been examples in the past, and I don't look at that going forward, that we're going to be able to do those things, because there's been so much criminality throughout government and through things that have been done that have never been prosecuted. And I don't think that we're going to start now. I go back to the banks of 2008. What they did was misconduct and a lot of illegalities there based on the banking rules. Nothing happened to anybody. In fact, they got bailed out. I think that everybody gets a free pass here with maybe a little bit of scuffle. But overall, no, I do not think there's going to be a full investigation here.
Scott, what about you? Do you think we'll ever see Howard Lutnick actually testifying or held accountable, or even his son, for profiting off of what has happened in this past 3 months, 6 years? I mean, six months.
First time during the conversation, I kind of disagree with Baba. I think that if the Democrats win the midterms, you're going to see hearings galore. This will be just one of them. However, to his point, will anything actually happen? Of course not, because do you really want to set the precedent, if you're in the Congress making money from insider trading, that insider trading is bad? I don't think you do.
And I think this is one of the reasons why they're going after people like Thomas Massey or even Tim Burchett and others who want to expose this and cannot be held and want their people to be held accountable, even if it does not make them popular in the congressional dining room. Thank you so much, Scott Stantis and Bubba Horwitz, for joining me on this.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
You know, America first should mean American families first, not corporate lobbyists first, not politically connected financiers first, not insiders who profit, whether policies stand or fall. You see, if consumers paid the price through inflation and higher cost, then they deserve answers before the corporations receive a penny in refunds. If conflicts existed, expose them. If laws were written recklessly, fix them. If taxpayers are being played, stop it. Because patriotism is not a slogan. It is protecting the people who work hard, play by the rules, and expect their government to do the same. My thanks tonight to our guests for a very candid and important conversation. And thank you for watching. I'm Scottie Nell Hughes, and this has been America First.